What should happen to a trade pact in a democracy? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, though, market players are reacting to notes from the last time the guardians of interest rates gathered to talk policy. The Federal Reserve doesn't seem in a hurry to raise interest rates, but maybe they are. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
Judging from the Fed minutes, they are conflicted. There's one sentence in there where they talk about some members would like to raise rates now and, in fact, think maybe we're a little late to the game, while some members think there's still plenty of time. And in Fed parlance, when they say some, they mean about half the committee. So it looks like it's almost evenly split between those who are worried that labor markets are tight and we may have an inflation problem, and others pointing to things like the lack of labor force participation, which suggests there's still millions of people perfectly happy to go to work if wages come up just a little bit.
As we've been reporting, the trade deal known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership hit a milestone this week as negotiating teams from 12 countries forged an agreement. The terms are still being incorporated into the text, which is not public yet, but that hasn't stopped lawmakers, industry groups, and presidential candidates from rendering their verdicts. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson takes a look at the week that was for these sweeping and controversial changes that are subject to Congress's approval or disapproval.
As word came that negotiations over the terms of the deal had concluded, so too came a flurry of statements, speeches, and tweets, giving the TPP a thumbs up or thumbs down, even though the final text hasn't been released yet. Jared Bernstein is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
There's a certain amount of kind of knee-jerk reaction to these trade deals, both proponents and opponents.
The White House jumped into sales mode. There was cautious optimism from some environmental groups, disappointment from others, vows to fight the deal from organized labor. There are politicians who said they're holding out to read the deal. Others, like Hillary Clinton, said they're worried it isn't good enough. Because of mandatory posting and review periods, the TPP can't go to Congress until early 2016. Dan Eikenson with the Cato Institute says its timing from there is less certain.
I mean, it could happen quickly or it could be contentious. The fact is, it's going to be happening during the election season, which is fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
He says this is an important issue and politicians should be forced to confront it. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Volkswagen's top executive in the U.S., Michael Horn, was on Capitol Hill yesterday taking bipartisan heat over the company's emissions scandal. The German automaker has admitted putting so-called defeat devices in 500,000 diesel vehicles sold in the U.S. and many more elsewhere. The emission controls turn on when the car is being tested, then shut off as soon as they pull out the connector. VW faces plenty more trouble: civil, criminal, class action lawsuits, hearings, investigations. Even now there's word Texas is suing VW for violating both consumer and clean air laws. And will all this make the Federal Environmental Protection Agency tougher on automakers? Mitchell Hartman filed this report.
Of the cars whizzing by on a typical American highway, one in every 500 or so are going to be VW diesels spewing dozens of times more crud than the law allows. And how much is VW's cheating likely to affect regular Americans' trust of automakers?
I'm not surprised that they've done it, but I don't know. I don't think it's that important of an issue.
22-year-old Robert O'Neill drives a GM Saturn, which has suffered multiple recalls. What's he think of automakers in general?
I do trust them more than most other industries.
And polls confirm this. Americans rank the auto industry very positively, above banking and lawyers, big surprise, but also healthcare and education. Consumer advocates would love it if recent scandals with ignition switches and fuel economy and emissions made Americans mad at automakers. Then maybe they'd push Congress to give EPA and other agencies more money to beef up safety and pollution testing. Jack Gillis is at the Consumer Federation.
Because they are underfunded, they depend tremendously on the car makers themselves for information. So it becomes very difficult to be the tough sheriff.
But auto analyst Paul Eisenstein at the DetroitBureau.com doesn't expect Congress to fund more enforcement.
Which it didn't in the case of the GM ignition switch crisis, which actually did lead to more than 100 deaths.
What might lead to less cheating, says former federal environmental prosecutor David Ullman, is VW itself, or rather its example.
Nobody, and I mean nobody in the auto industry, wants what is happening to Volkswagen to happen to them. This case will scare straight anyone who has been violating the law.
Federal regulators have signaled they're now on the lookout for cheating by automakers, and independent researchers have been emboldened by the scandal to do more of their own testing of cars on the American road. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And the king of bonds remains aggrieved about his ouster from PIMCO, the company he helped found. Details are now public of Bill Gross's lawsuit against his former company. He's looking for a jury trial and at least $200 million in damages. The suit alleges former colleagues ganged up on him to advance their careers and feed off what would have been his big bonuses. Allianz of Germany owns PIMCO, which says the lawsuit is without merit. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.